from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. You know, I'm here to help you. Ideally, if you're new or not, I'm here to help you get some sleep. And I appreciate you coming by, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if you could just pay attention, because these are the ways we keep the show regularly coming to you. Or when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, remember, just pull up your phone or sit down at your laptop. SleepWithMePodcast.com/sponsors. Thanks. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And if you're ever wondering who our sponsors are, you could go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. If you get a chance, there's something that works for you there. And you support a sponsor, let me know about it. Share with the sponsor so they know how you heard about it. And I'll thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone or the Sleepy Supporter Zone. But right now, I want to thank some new patrons who also support the show. Carrie with a K, Lilith, Todd, Brooke, Emily, Melissa, and Jesse. They became patrons at the start of the month. I really, really appreciate it. Those are our Sleepy Patreon supporters. And this is the one part of the show I need you to hear, the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Hey, Mystery Bard, there's a lot of people who work very hard on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Lecture.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
Could be for Father's Day.
Coming up soon.
Or could be just to say,
hey, you're cool.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at Sleep With Me Podcast. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you, everybody who shares the show, whether it's in your personal life or in your social media life or, you know, your school, work, wherever it is. That's really how most people discover the show. It's really a powerful, powerful way, your word of mouth. And you know what? I really appreciate it. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you. And what do you say we keep the show a-going? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, you know, stuff you're thinking about or stuff you're experiencing or, you know, coming up for you. You know, but it could be travel, it could be situational, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to take your mind off that. I'd like to create a kind of safe place, as I said, where you could just, you know, sink in a little bit more. And I guess be distracted. Like what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep dark night. I'm going to use these lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Pointless meanders. Believe me, I've got plenty of those. I've got an arsenal of, you know, when it comes to sleepy equipment, I put the arsenal of sleepy stuff. I don't know if you even I don't know. I said, should I chuckle at that or no? That's actually, well, anyway. Some of those things would be at tangents, superfluous dialogue. A lot of, at the beginning of the show, particularly right now, I'd be like unresolved metaphors. I'm pretty sure I don't want to say I invented that. I'm just the first person that, you know, isn't an English major that's used unresolved metaphors. Or this is the only place where it's like, it's not shade. You say, well, the book was full of unresolved metaphors. And you say, oof, that's, I mean, that was about as harsh as I said when you said Byron-esque. I didn't even know what that meant, but I know what unresolved, I think, is the unresolved metaphor, is it anything like a simile that doesn't get finished? I know technically that one kind of did, but you don't know. Are we in the midst of a metaphorical dialogue right now? Oh, no, it's imaginary dialogue. Wait, so there's a part of my internal imaginary makeup that was an English major? Oh, wow. It must have, like, did you, because that's great. I'd love to sit to, of all my family members, I think my brother Ken would probably make the best English major, just because he has the ability to retain and discuss discrete things about novels that I don't necessarily possess, but I guess an imaginary part of me does. Oh no, you said you're an English major, you're not a good English, okay. What are we talking, like C+? Not quite. Okay, well, is your tuition imaginary, and am I in charge of it? We've got one out of two of those. Okay, well, it's we'll see. Sorry, I got distracted there by, that may be an unresolved metaphor. It's definitely be unresolved for me, because I'm like, who is this English major living in my collective unconscious? Living in my collective imagination? You started an imagination collective. Well, I thought you were an English major. Oh, like, but you have other interests. Okay, that's cool. I mean, maybe you could write a novel. Okay, get back to the intro. Thanks. That was the most useful thing so far. Okay, so if you're new, those are a couple of things that ways I'm going to kind of, I'm here to keep you company and to take your mind off of stuff. That's basically the basics, structurally what to expect with this show. That's when it can become different, because this podcast is outside of the norms of all things, even proper usage of words. Proper use. Not only does he have unresolved metaphors, he misuses his imagination. And I say, well, the nuns were telling me that, believe me, they didn't even know what they didn't even know they had it right, because I just giggled when they said, hey, you misuse your man. And I say, oh boy, if you only knew, sister. So where was I? So if you're new, structurally what to expect. The show starts off with a few minutes of business. Then we have an intro where I try to make a metaphor about the show. But really what the intro is your chance to wind down or fall asleep. Or you can skip ahead. Usually around 18 minutes is the best place to skip ahead to. You'll be pretty close to the beginning of the next portion of our show. But for the majority of regular listeners, the intro kind of becomes part of their bedtime routine. And they use it as they wind down. Or as more and more listeners use it during the day, kind of just they say, well, I wonder what Scoots is doing. He's probably having trouble resolving his metaphors. And, you know, that'll be a distraction from this real world stuff for about 20, 30 minutes. So it's kind of like an anti-coffee break. Or maybe not, I don't know. If only I knew what the correct usage of that was. But I think you know what I mean. But so, if you're new, give the show a few tries, especially with the intro, because you say, well, you're not making any sense. And I'd say, oh boy, you got it right. You say, by definition, you can't, well, I don't know if you can you or can't you unresolve metaphors? And I'd say, well, have you ever seen me try to fix anything? Resolve that one. I think you'll see that there is you'll find you're resolving in my unresolved issues. Spin, that metaphor just set me for a spin. It was like being, yeah, you're right. Maybe I should have snuck a simile in there. You're right, cheap joke brain. Okay. I think I was in the middle of trying to make another point though. Not needing to listen to me. Oh, give it a few tries. It doesn't make any sense. Give it a few tries, because a lot of people find, they say, what are you talking about, or whatever, but I'm just here to help and to take your mind off stuff, so sometimes it takes getting used to, and I'll come back to that. Then after that, tonight, we'll have a bedtime story, and if you think this intro was off, this will be a tale of the tape episode, where I pick a movie I haven't seen in a long time, that supposedly some part of my, nostalgia, whatever that, where's your nostalgia held? I don't know what organ's in charge of the nostalgia, but whatever it is, I try to go, I say, oh, you said this movie's really important to us, eh? Well, let's try to remember the plot of it. And that always goes very interestingly. So I'll be trying to remember the plot of The Legend of Billie Jean, which may not even be the name of the movie, and it'll be a very bedtime. You know, even if I remember anything exciting, don't worry, I'll steer my way around that like a scooter on beach sand. And then the show will end with some thank yous and some good nights. There's some business between the intro and the bedtime story portion of the show, but really the whole show is a bedtime story. It's just a little bit different. And also, if you're new, you don't need to listen to me. You could listen. That's why I also give a few tries, because you say, well, I prefer to listen to Scooter where I can't hear what he's saying. I mean, those reviews are very different. Like, there's some people that like to concentrate, and there's some people that like to lower me to a mumble. There's some people that like to slow the show down. And there's some people that just kind of listen and fall asleep, and then they listen all night long. There's something about it. So find what works for you. And there's no pressure to fall asleep. That's the other key part about this show. I'm here to keep you company as you drift off, to take your mind off of stuff, to be here at your side. I'm your ally in the deep, dark night, because I've been there. So there's no pressure to fall asleep. That's why I make the shows over an hour or just over an hour. So you see how we got plenty of time. You could queue up episode after episode if you need to. So there's no pressure to fall asleep. Here's the other thing that's kind of new. There's also no pressure to like this show. And I want to fully lean into that in some sense. There's only upside. I really want to help you. And if you give it some tries and you don't, it doesn't work for you, or you're already listening and you say, Scoots, we're just not cut from the same jib or whatever. I'd say, well, I don't even know what a jib is, but I do know what a bib is. And if there was an adult bib requirement, would that be? An ABR? They would have signed it for me. It's, yeah, California passed its first ABR law. ABR 107, the adult bib requirement, just for Drew Scooter. He's required to wear a bib from now on. And it's a great, that's a law I could get behind. It's, you know, does it have the little catch thing that the modern bibs have, like the bib trough? And it's, here's something, you know, I did see Gavin on a plane, on a regular plane, a Southwest flight. And not that, like during campaign season. And first of all, I spotted his hair literally at four. I said, look, I thought it was a, it was a flight to LA. And I said, there's got to be like an A-list celebrity on this flight. Cause all I saw was like a 4-inch by 4-inch patch of the hair in the crowd. And he was on the flight. And I said, oh man, that's, I got to respect that move. If I'd say thanks for Pat. Oh, I was going to say Gav. Governor Newsom. Do you think I could like put like messages on the bib though? Okay, well we'll work that out. Great. I don't know where I was talking about before I came up with that adult bib requirement. Oh, some people might not like me. That's what I was saying. Or the podcast might not work for you. And I have a new thing, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. There, pretty simple. You'll find some other sleep podcasts. You'll find some other audio that I've used in the past. And then if you do, you say, well, Scooch, that whole bib thing, you can find options to kind of channel that energy too. So I think that's it. I thought I'd have some more things, but I'll be doing a lot of thinking about this. See, can I get a copy of, do I get a copy of that bill with the pen you signed it with, since I'm the only person it applies to? Also, who petitioned? Oh, my collective imagination petitioned, and they got it passed. Wow. First bill passed, it was a referendum. First referendum passed was a budget of zero. We, the people of the state of California, declare that the passage of ABR, the ABR, adult bib requirement, it could be altered though, right? For other people. I didn't realize my, I guess that's it. If you're new, I hope this podcast can help you. If you're a regular listener, I'm glad you're back. Now you got something else to giggle about. Like when you wake up tomorrow, you say, was Scooter talking about bibs again? I think he was. I think he was talking about, he was talking about bibs he was going to design for English majors, lit majors, the book and a bib, he's going to call it. It's a new business he's launching with it because he's required to wear a bib, some sort of marketing thing. And he also said it's great for exercise, really increases like one or two muscles on your upper shoulder. It's called, book and a bib. And he thinks there'll be a big market for, baby showers and stuff too. Yeah, book and a bib, bib and a book. That's the thing. So, that's another idea. Also, that's my idea, by the way. So don't start taking it. You heard it here first, either, bib in a book in a bib, or bibbity book, because that's what I'd say, bibbity book, or bookity bookity bib. Lookity lookity, I've got a bookity in my bib. So anyway, I'm glad you're here. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. I'm a bit silly, because I want to make bedtime feel a little bit less serious. But I'm serious about putting you to sleep. I work very hard. I strive in a yearn to help you fall asleep. And thank you so much for coming by. Here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. All right. Hey, everybody. Tonight's episode is another, it's been a little while since I've done one of these. It's a tale of the tape episode. And normally, sometimes these are seasonal, but this happened to be, I'll kind of walk you through the structure, when this came up and then structurally what I'll do is the tale of the tape episode is basically taking a movie I used to watch as a kid, and to some of you, these will be movies you have no familiarity with, but you could check out in a movie I haven't seen in a long time, and then try to remember the plot of the movie, basically. So a movie that had a great meaning to me when I was a youth, and say, well, Scoots, if that movie is so important to you, what happens in the movie? I say, well, good question. And I kind of found by accident that this structurally works. And then we kind of, as we see how it unwinds, if we have time at the end, I'll kind of look up some facts about the movie or the plot and kind of some articles and see how it matches up. But to start with, I like to go in mostly with little information, though there has been times that that hasn't worked out. But that's the beauty of editing and pausing it. And here's the first thing I'll misremember, but this just happened yesterday, was I was driving, I was coming back from a road trip, and a song came on, and now I can't think of who sang it, but it's an 80s song, and We Are Young, I think is the, and there's a couple of songs, We Are Young, so this might not be the one you're thinking of, and it's not sang by, oh, good boy. So this is already, maybe I'll think of who sang it. It's not Debbie Harry, but it's an 80s songstress. Maybe Linda Ronstadt? No, probably not. I know who it is, part of my brain, because this was literally yesterday. This song came on. And I said to myself, this is a song from the movie Legend of Billie Jean, which comes up on the podcast. It was one of the movies I saw in my formative movie watching years, it wasn't my formative years, going from a boy to a man. I was still a boy because my blooming was later than most. That's how I keep, such a youthful attitude now. But so, was it Linda Ronstadt? I don't know. It's not, who sings that other song? Really great song. Who sings the song that I used to make up a ton of parodies of it? I don't know. I Love Rock and Roll. I don't think it's that person either. That's Joan Jett. But you know what? I'm in that. It's somewhere in that ballpark. I'd say very Joan Jett-esque. Or if Linda Ronstadt is who I think it is. I think today you'd call it power pop, maybe. So that was one of the songs from the movie, and it made me think this movie, The Legend of Billie Jean, and I have great fond memories of it. So we'll get into, we'll talk about it. I guess let's get to it, right? Okay, so The Legend of Billie Jean, I don't think I saw it in the theater because I was probably too young. I'm almost positive of that, but then, like I've talked about on the show, there was this great period in my life where there was some special for HBO or whatever the package is, that we had HBO in my house for 2 years. And this is when I was exposed to a lot of things that would permanently impact my life in a positive way. Not necessarily the news, Kids in the Hall, and I watched a lot of movies. I think they're probably on during the day. And we would either tape the movie or we just watch it over and over. So this movie, Legend of Billie Jean, And again, I don't know how it holds up, but it really is an interesting movie, zeitgeist-wise, I think, and in a powerful way when you think about, well, how I remember storytelling. But I think in some way, at least in my memory, I say, well, Jesus is really a forward movie for the 80s. And maybe not in what I'm exactly thinking. I'm thinking in some different ways. Just because the 80s were kind of a time of like vanilla ice cream only. And so you say, would you prefer saltine crackers or vanilla ice cream? Even if you were talking subtextually, you'd say, well, I'd like French vanilla. So I don't know. I guess I'm mixing up my metaphors. But so whatever age I was, it was like a late grammar school, or what do people call it? Elementary school, grammar school age. And this movie starred two Slaters, Helen Slater and Christian Slater. And I believe this is probably Christian Slater's first film. And I think Helen had been maybe in one or two movies, like in a starring role, but she was the star of the film. And it did have like, I don't know all of the cast, and I'm not like, but it did have Peter Coyote and, Yeardley Smith, who plays Lisa Simpson, I think. Or maybe not. Maybe I'm, but anyway, yeah, I may be wrong. So I could be wrong on that one. Maybe I'm almost positive she's a voice of one of the Simpsons. Maybe it's Marge. Because I think whoever plays Lisa Simpson was in another movie based on a TV show that's about to be rebooted. But I could be, you know, I've been wrong before. Also, the actor who was also in Back to School, which must have come out before this, because I already had an affinity for him, just because he was a relatable, he's not the lead in this movie, he was a lead in that movie, because he's not like a big hunky male, so I said I could relate to him. But it was the Slaters that were the features, I guess, of the film. Oh, did I see Peter Coyote was in it? He kind of was in it. And then one of the secondary characters from Top Gun was in it. I want to say his name's Hobie Cat, but I think that's the name of like a pontoon, like a sailboat. Maybe his name is Hobie, though. Hubie was his name in the movie. I don't know. We'll look it up later. But so Helen Slater and Christian Slater, who I continue to have great affinity for, and particularly Christian Slater, he went on to be in Gleaming the Cube not that long after this movie, which is another movie. I don't know if I watched it quite as many times. It was a movie I liked a lot. A couple of my siblings love it. And I think I would love it if I'd watched it more, but I guess I just loved this movie a little bit more than that. And I don't know what else to say. I mean, I said, I'm proud of Christian Slater just because of, he's interested in Mr. Robot, and he kind of had like a career with a couple different lives where he was expected to go one way. Then he kind of, had a period where he was a little bit absent, and then he came back in a different direction, and he was really good in The Contender. I think that was a movie, which was like his kind of comeback. Then I'm not exactly sure because I don't watch a lot of TV, but then I said, is that Christian Slater, Mr. Robot? Holy cow. Maybe Helen Slater's best known to people. I think currently is in Supergirl. Was originally in the movie Supergirl. I think it was also in the, what was that one Superman TV show that was like a rom-com? Clark and Lois, maybe it was called. I don't know. Lois and Clark, the new Superman. I think that's what it was called. Yeah, but so, what was my point? Oh, I'm a big fan of the Slaters. That's, I guess, what I would do. So I guess we could talk about the movie now, if I could remember how it opens. And there is a bit of irony, because one of the focuses of the movie is a scooter. And this was back in the 80s. And so scooters in the 80s are different than they are today. They didn't have, probably at some point they did have the foot power scooters or the electric scooters that people, especially in cities in America, you say, okay, well, you may be a subject that it brings up feelings for people. And at some point, like in the 80s and the 70s, people had things called mopeds, I think was what they're originally called. And when you would see romantic things like in Italy, people had scooters, which were like a, I don't know, lower powered, like a less than a motorcycle. But still you could get around. And now that I'm kind of thinking of the opening images, I'm pretty sure this is just where I get a bit mixed up. But I'm pretty sure the opening images of the film were Helen Slater kind of returning home from work, like whatever her job was, in a beach town, like which I'd assume was like a service job in the beach town. Maybe they showed her working or getting off work. Yeah, maybe she worked in some cool beach-related thing. And then cruising and kind of seeing that she was a very, well-liked person, maybe. And then going back to a beach house, which you say, well, what age range was? Then that's another good question. And I'd say, I honestly can't tell if, in the movie, I'm trying to think if she was like the adult, like maybe in her, somewhere between 18 and 22. There didn't seem to be an adult figure, but I could be wrong. But she goes back to the house and her brother's there, Christian Slater. She's Billie Jean. Her brother is maybe Pyatt, or is Pyatt one of the, I don't know, but, I can hear her saying it. And she gets home, and I'm pretty sure right away it establishes that she's very close with her brother. She loves her scooter. But now I'm thinking that maybe her brother had a scooter. So this is one point where I'll just definitely admit I'm probably wrong. This is why it's the tail of the tape in my mind. But I'm almost positive I could see her on a scooter, right? In the opening of the movie, cruising and driving along. Though I could also be remembering a movie with Linda Hamilton, and maybe getting Linda Hamilton from a movie she was in with the Governator. And she's, I'm probably picturing Linda Hamilton riding back on her scooter to her house, in equating that with Helen Slater. So that could be, this is where the tale of the tape, you say, well, those tapes were, we dubbed over that and accidentally, we had to, this was back when you had to use a VCR. But so the movie opens with Helen Slater. We'll just say that. Then we see her brother, maybe Pyatt, but I'm not sure about that. Then we find out that, her brother, Christian Slater, his pride and joy is this, his scooter that he saved up all his money for and really loves. And then very quickly, I guess, to keep the action moving, maybe the other characters are established, which are two friends, neither of which is name I'm going to remember. But one, two young women that are, friends or and neighbors. And I don't remember the names. One had longer hair, one had shorter hair. One was properly played by Yeardley Smith or whatever, whoever's name. And the other actress, I just honestly don't know. But those were the two friend characters. I don't know if there was any other friend characters. There is definitely isn't that I'm remembering. So what happens next is we learn that something happens with Christian Slater's scooter. And what was it? I thought of that dude's name, and it ends up that it's this. Maybe his name's Pyatt. No, what's his name? Hobie. That's the actor's name. Hubie. Maybe that was his name in the. Maybe that's his real name. Maybe he's Pyatt. I don't know. But this total surfer bra. No offense to anybody out there. Just this is a character of it. Caricature. Yeah, he gets like a. I don't know if he was jealous of Christian Slater's scooter or what, but they borrow it, I think, and or something, and the scooter gets totally ruined. And they think it's all a big thing because this kid is rich, also. And also, Christian Slater's feelings, more than his feelings, get hurt. And I think he goes to try to stand up to them, and they say, well, we didn't do anything, you know. And at some point, that's when Peter Coyote gets involved. He's like the town sheriff, like the beach town sheriff. And he kind of says, what's going on here? And they say, well, we don't know. Somebody is like, it's a mystery. And he kind of stuck like, within the bounds of his profession. He says, huh, but Helen Slater, Billie Jean is not having it. So she goes up to this, maybe he is Pyatt or is he Hubie? I don't know. But she goes to him, the surfer, and she says, you got to pay for this. And he goes, no. Now his dad and him own some store. That sells trinkets to tourists, so, you know, overpriced t-shirts and stuff like that. So she goes to the dad and she says, your son destroyed my brother's scooter and he needs to pay for it. And he says, no, I didn't, Dad. You know, no, she's lying. And Helen Slater says, no. And, you know, this is like, you know, you'll pay for it. And the dad is played by an actor that usually plays like slime balls. But he says, sure, I'll pay for it. And then what happens is quickly becomes apparent that this he doesn't intend to pay and puts like Billie Jean in a position where she further has to assert right and wrong and her boundaries. So then I don't know what happens next except that this was before Christian Slater was in the movie. Was he in that movie, right? Young Cowboys, I think it was called, with Billy the Kid. But even in this movie, he fantasizes about being a Billy the Kid type character. And so at some point he gets involved and he pretends he's Billy the Kid. So I don't know if they take the money, which was rightfully theirs, and in, like, Billie Jean's, saying, you know, hell no, to the dad, but, I don't know, I think it quickly goes awry because of Christian Slater pushing everything up a notch, and they have to bail, because the main sleaze, he bumps his elbow and he says, oh, I bumped my elbow because your brother bumped into me or something, you know, the usual. And so they have to bail. And I don't know if they got any, I guess they didn't get any of the money. Yeah, but they still have to bail out of there. Because at this point, it's like the town rich guy and his bratty son. And so they bail. They go back to their neighborhood. Maybe they lived in I guess they did live in a trailer park. Because maybe that makes sense. A trailer park near the beach. It just because they say, well, that'd be makes sense with the two of them. And their just closeness to their neighbors. Also, okay. Now I'm remembering a couple other things. But basically what they do is they start packing up, the two of them, because they know they're going to get busted soon. And then their two best friends are like, what are you guys doing? Why are you so worried? Maybe they were even hanging at the house or at their place. And they say, no, we got to get out of here. They ask the one friend with the shorter hair, can you drive us somewhere? Because we got to get out. And she says, sure. And the two friends are like, we're coming with you. And, you know, the one friend, she's younger, with the longer hair. She's kind of like wanting to get away anyway. And so then they all end up they're forced to this call to adventure. But they go on this call to adventure and they pack up a car, a station wagon. Now, this is where I guess my memory gets mixed up, whether the station wagon was a station wagon for, what's that place called, mini golf, or if they go and they spend the first night, or maybe this is just a dream of mine. I mean, it is a dream of mine. The first place they go to hide out is like a mini golf place that I guess would be closed down, maybe because it's the end of the summer. I don't know, but that they're hiding out inside a mini golf place. I mean, that would make sense that there is a mini golf place, or if they're just hiding out the station wagon, and it's just full of mini golf balls. So I'm not sure about that, but at some point they hide out, and then suddenly it becomes like this big deal. Because the dad, I think the dad puts up his own reward for busting Billie Jean, because the Peter Coyote's like, okay, we'll catch, I mean, whatever, and the dad's like, no. So he kind of makes like a big reward to catch Billie Jean. And this is one aspect of it, that it was this would be the rest of the movie becomes what people now call going viral. Like over the whole rest of the movie, it becomes the legend of Billie Jean that she becomes viral. I don't exactly remember how, though. Like, I remember, like, what happens next is, like, they go to, like, 7-Eleven and get food. They talk a lot, and you really establish that the four of them care for one another. So there's that part. Then they have to keep hiding out. So then somehow they end up trying to sneak into this house. And I don't know how they decided that, or where, like a really fancy mansion or something, that they said, oh, nobody's here. It's just a rich person's beach house or something with a nice pool. So they go in there. What they don't realize is the guy that was the actor from, Back to School lives there. And he's kind of like a recluse and an introvert. And so then, you know, there's like some rising action, but it's more of like a misdirect. And he says, oh, I know who you are. And then for some reason, it just happens that a Joan of Arc movie's on. So they watch the Joan of Arc movie. And Billie Jean's thinking about, there's been already two levels of injustice, or three levels. Literally at the hands of the patriarchy. I mean, in the, like, especially the upper class, patriarch and his son, you know, future patriarch. And it was all done in a kind of a straightforward, without trying to bury it in subtext, and I think that was a good, I don't know, that's where I'm surprised for the 80s, was that part of it. One part was a surprise, that it wasn't for me, whatever grade I was in, I was like, oh, okay, I get this, I get the message, and it's being delivered to me in a straightforward way, but not spoon-fed to me at the time. But again, it might just, I don't know if it stands up to time. But another thing I thought great was the casting, because I really thought, and again, this is just my memory, is that the four leads, where even though I don't remember everybody's names, where like the friendships were very believable, and that it wasn't like I mean, I realized they were all actors and actresses, but that they weren't professionalized. Like there's something about professional, like the more people get into acting at a young age, the harder it becomes to get good performances from child actors and actresses. I mean, I don't know if you know what I mean, but like you see movies where every kid, I mean, I guess this would be a little bit younger. These were like high school to young adults, but the performances were at least at the time, I found them very relatable and believable, and without being like they seem like real people. And so they're staying at this guy's house, and I think there's a ticking clock, maybe because his parents are coming home or something in a day or two. And they watch Joan of Arc. He kind of tells Billie Jean that, he believes in what she's doing. Then she kind of goes into this introspective mode. Also, the younger, long-haired character, she experiences her own personal change in growth. And then, so Billie Jean's in her own kind of figuring introspective mode, but also like a planning mode and an accepting mode of her, needing to stand up, but also to get this counter message out, because this patriarch dude was I'm going to put up a reward because Billie Jean's a jerk. And so she cuts her hair. I guess that was another point of the movie, was that she had long blonde hair, and that was part of her identity up until this point. So she sees Joan of Arc, she cuts her hair. Also, they didn't have any change of clothes, so she was wearing, at some point they all go swimming, which I think probably happened earlier, and there's a water slide from the kid's bedroom into the pool from the second floor, which was, this dramatic and cool thing. But so she cuts her hair, she, gets this, some sort of, what is it called? She starts wearing a wetsuit top, which just makes her look cooler. And then the guy tells her about the power media. I think they had there's a 25 minute Marshall McLuhan think piece in there that wasn't even resolved. They were is it, and he said, now we have these cameras. We can get to this would have made sense on the internet, because this doesn't make sense in the movie. But at this point, for me, my belief was suspended or whatever, my disbelief. But so they, she films this thing where she says, here's what really happened, or I'm going to she says, let's settle this as two honest people. She says to the dude's father, I'm willing to settle this. You pay for my brother's scooter or something like that. And she sets a time again, I'll meet you here. I think that's what happens, because then it becomes this. And she also makes a speech where she says, fair is fair, which is basically your son damaged my brother's scooter, needs to be replaced. Now you're making up all this BS to cover your son's tracks. And karma's coming. Now, meanwhile, because of this, the father figure trying to hype all this, it becomes even more hyped. And what happens is, everything becomes viral. Billie Jean becomes viral in this positive way. The dad keeps hyping up his reward, and she really does become this legend. And she becomes this inspiration for people standing up to old white dudes. I mean, basically, and just a self-actualization. I don't know if that's what it is, a bit of standing up for yourself and saying this is wrong, fair, don't know if it's fair means fair. Yeah, I think it's fair means fair. So, you know, they have some montages of them. Wait, there's another point where they go somewhere to eat and they meet a bunch of kids who know who they are. Maybe they go to a party. I don't know if that was, it must have been after the video came out. Or they go somewhere. Yeah, but I think they went to a pizza place, they got free pizza, and maybe a bunch of other free stuff. Maybe they went to a store, and the kids that ran the store said, oh, well, my parents own the store, like, maybe something like that. So they start to get, like, this groundswell of support for Billie Jean. And again, it might seem tropey, but then even the dad starts to capitalize, selling Billie Jean t-shirts, because he commercially exploit her rebellious image. And I think then a radio station even offers to give them a scooter. And the brother's like, well, we should just take a scooter from the radio station. And they say, Billie Jean, just come get the scooter. It's waiting for you. And Billie Jean's like, no, we're getting the, we're getting the scooter. Then I think the dad even, I don't know if it's the dad or somebody else, erects this giant, like, paper mache, but a 20-foot statue of Billie Jean. Yeah, there must have been another, like, plot twist, but at some point they have to go down to the beach now. At this point, it's viral, so there's tons of people at the beach waiting for, it's like Billie Jean Day, like Legend of Billie Jean. We see everybody's, like, she's become a fashion icon. And then, of course, like, the hype that Billie Jean's, like a subversive force because of the dad. So there's a lot of, like, Peter Coyote stuck in the middle. And also the two friends get dropped off with Peter Coyote. He says, okay, what's going on? They say, nothing. Billie Jean just, like, but then, Peter Coyote loses, like, jurisdiction. So then it becomes this whole big thing. And then they say, well, will you meet with her, like, the dad? And then we'll just, you know, then we'll bring her in or whatever. Or are you really going to give her the money? And, of course, the dad, he's, like slime. So he can't remember what he does, but he says, oh, yeah, I'll give her the money. You know, and then you can bust her and then give me my money back or something. Or no, he refuses to. So Peter Coyote has to put up the money, maybe. Yeah. So, but I don't know. So they basically, it all culminates at the beach meeting. And the dad pulls some stunt at the very end. And it ends up like, I don't know. It ends up like with this very dramatic ending. Where I think the dad hopefully gets and his son get busted. Billie Jean's kind of shown. I don't know, maybe he tried to turn the tables on Billie Jean one last time. But she kind of says, well, this is exactly, I think you, like, in the court, like right in front of everybody, she says, well, this is exactly what happened. I don't know. Then the dad pulls something that was stunt one last time. Then Christian Slater bumps his elbow. I think just because the dad pulled something. So then Christian Slater bumps his elbow. Peter Coyote's trying to keep everything calm. Then everybody worries about Billie Jean. Then her statue gets knocked over. And the dad, all his merchandise gets wet. Like a giant wave comes in, basically. And it takes out his merch tent, which is great. And he said, no, I'm losing my Billie Jean t-shirts. And I think that's how it ends. But let me look up some stuff just to get some facts here. Because I really don't think I'm doing the movie justice. So it's two, let's go to Wikipedia first. So it came out in 1985. Made $3.1 million at the box office. What rating was it? I don't see what rating it was. Let's see. Rides with her younger brother on his Honda Elite 150 to go swimming. And Hubie Pyatt, they They wanted to live in Vermont too. That's how it ends. But Hubie takes the scooter. And, oh, the friends' names are Putter and Ophelia. And she goes to Peter Coyote, but he says, just wait till the scooter comes home with your brother. It's just kid stuff. Then Billie Jean tries to go get the money. Then Binks is a brother, escalates everything. Mr. Pye bumps his shoulder. Then Peter Coyote, Detective Ringwald, realizes he should have intervened earlier. Billie Jean just, now Billie Jean's like, Mr. Pye has to own up. Then they meet Lloyd, who's, so there's an extra layer with the video. And Lloyd, because his dad is the DA. But they still film the video and everything. The Billie Jean becomes a teen icon. Young fans follow every movement. She brings Putter and Ophelia back. Ringwald, they cover, like, they use a bunch of Billie Jean's for distraction. Well, now it says Mr. Pyatt puts out the reward. Maybe that's where the culmination is. Her and her brother go undercover. Then her cover gets blown. Binks bumps his shoulder. Billie Jean gets Mr. Pyatt, gives Mr. Pyatt his deserved comeuppance. And everyone saw it. Everyone sees it. And then they take out his store. And then later, Billie Jean and Binks are headed to Vermont, and Binks looks after a red snowmobile. Okay, so I did remember it. Let's see, soundtrack. Invincible was Pat Benatar. Did I say Pat Benatar? I don't think I did. We Will Be Invincible. We Are Young. But it's Invincible is the name of the song. Okay, so let's look at Rotten Tomatoes, see how it did there. On the tomato meter, it got 40%, but the audience score is 75%. Let's just see if there's any critics we know. I don't see any famous critics here on the first page. Let's just dig deeper. I'm trying to find actual, reviews around when it came out. Not seeing anything earlier than 2005, so we'll skip that. And Film School Rejects actually has a post about watching, I'll read it. 28 Things We Learned from the Legend of Billie Jean Commentary. Let's see, a paraphrase. There's a lot of talk recently about the lack of female superhero films, and great ones in particular. But one of us is one people have missed out on stars Helen Slater, and it's not Supergirl. It's Legend of Billie Jean. And, has sidekicks and nemesis and a catchphrase, fair is fair. Not fair means fair. Okay, so let's see. The story and character beats deliver fun and excitement set to a catchy 80s soundtrack. Roster familiar faces Christian Slater, Yeardley Smith, Peter Coyote, Keith Gordon, and Dean Stockwell. And the dude from Top Gun. And, I might have to watch it. I might have to find this on DVD. Helen Slater and Yeardley Smith are the commentators. Yeardley Smith says she still gets approached by people who ask, because she became a woman in the movie. She had her first period, and so it was a big deal for her character. One of her catch lines is, when can I get a diaphragm? Helen Slater's first comment is that Christian Slater is not actually her brother. Holy cow. She says people always assume they're related, to which I can only reply guilty as charged. Oh, that's the thing. I thought they were related too. Holy cow. Both actresses joke about their terrible Southern accents. They said it might have been hard for Christian Slater because the three actresses kind of hung out, but he didn't have anyone that was his age. He was 15, and he had to go to school during it. Let's see what else. The film was rewritten a lot of times, so much so that the original writer, Walter Bernstein, ended up uncredited. They both liked working with Peter Coyote. It's PG-13. There's a lot of F-bombs. They said they were surprised. Because Helen Slater was like, maybe my daughter's going to watch this. I think it's okay to swear. They talk about Richard Bradford, who may be the dirtbag in the movie, the dad. They talk about the other actress, Martha Graham. They also Helen had to do a lot of shots in a wig because of reshoots after her hair was cut. Smith still has the stuffed bear that her character loved in the movie. Oh, they were shooting this movie when Supergirl came out, and some of the cast went to see it on opening day. They shot it in Corpus Christi, Texas, and that's where it's set, and that they would go to the mall during their time off during shoots. Helen said it was cool because there weren't malls in New York City. Yeardley Smith was 20 when she shot the movie. Her character was 14. Both were watching the film for the first time in a long time. And Helen seemed very taken with the various themes woven through the simple plot. She comments on the power of media, truth, and betrayal through the whole film. While talking about the writer Bernstein's struggle, Billie Jean's transition from long to short hair happened off-screen. Talk about the haircut. Let's see. They have Smith's most regrettable scene is Putter's first period. Smith asks Helen if Keith Gordon was a good kisser. I don't know. I don't remember that scene. Smith asks Helen. Oh, I guess Keith Gordon is the, he must be the guy from, sorry, Keith. Keith Gordon is the actor that was in, I can't even remember the other movie. Back to School. Helen says she still gets fans, people that approach her referencing this film more than any other. Let's see. Butter's haircut protest scene initially called for Smith to cut her incredibly long hair, but she resisted or protested. So she wore a wig. The Big Beach finale strikes both actors as a mystery. Neither remembers what happens. Same here. And then they remember that Christian Slater's wearing a dress. They regret not keeping any swag from the movie. Helen wishes she kept some of the frisbees they had. But they said the one item Helen did keep was a sweater from the last scene in Vermont. And the final thoughts from Film School Rejects. After seeing it in three decades ago, it became one of those movies that I never sought out but would watch again. On the rare occasion I came across it on TV, but since picking up the new Blu-ray, I've watched it twice more. Once to reacquaint myself and once with the commentary. And both viewings were good fun. Commentary shows Slater and Smith in good spirits, even though as they humorously struggle to remember the movie they're commenting on. They recall plenty of small details, but Henry having them wonder how the movie ends, priceless. I'm glad I'm not alone. And it sounds like it stands up, so definitely a movie to check out. I guess it's like on the R side of PG-13 as far as language goes, but I don't know. I feel like... it was a movie I watched a lot as a kid. Thanks, and good night. I want to thank everybody who recently reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts. Got any games on your phone? It says, thank you, Scoots. 5 stars. Helps me every night. Sleep says, within 30 minutes, which is a feat for me. Absolutely genius. Become a ritual. Honestly, look forward to it. 5 stars. Chaz Star 13. You know, that was like a Radiohead song that, like, rarely they play. It's like an alternate version, Chaz Star. I wish I could sing a few bars, but it's too deep in the show. Brilliant narrator, has a gift. Don't know how he does it. Funny and clever. Acting Scott, S-K-O-T. This is like a kind of a, like, a, it does, this is a 2-star review. But it's like a point of, some people just, they tend to make this up about the podcast. They see this again and again. They say that to ask for money for 20 minutes every episode, which just simply isn't true. I mean, maybe they just catch it with when I ask at the beginning of the show, which isn't even ever, like, for a few minutes, and then at the midpoint. But yeah, it is a matter of, like, I have to push outside of my comfort zone so that I can keep the podcast going and free. But I guess I got to, like, I don't know, like, I should be, like, such a grand person. I could just, like, not even register with me. Maybe I'm growing that way. CBear21, though, from Canada, says, godsend. Use this very often, but on nights when I feel myself toss. Oh, I don't use it often, but on nights when I'm tossing and turning, I pop on Sleep With Me. The TLA, I like that one. They said they were using the Calm app, and then they moved over this podcast, and it puts them to sleep in 5 minutes. Thank you. Pippi Cat says, I'm new, and you're awesome. I've been listening to podcasts the last couple of months, have found it to not only be good for bedtime, wonderfully distracting, blocks out grumbly people. Thanks. Ava R. says, amazing. Using it for a month, so good. Max 20 minutes. 1,000% recommend it. Yacht Z says, sleep with me. Sleep with you every night. And now I can do it farm free. And can't wait for the next round of Game of Thrones. Truly was a big help. This is from Cosmic R to the A to the T to the S. Don't know where to start. Been dealing with many things. Now I'm in school, which, you know, causes other things, which, it made it hard to sleep, and other things coming up at nighttime. Then I heard about the podcast, gave it a try. 10 minutes, I was sound asleep. The way I like to listen is by trying to focus on everything that's being said, because it just lulls my brain to sleep. And dealing with a lot of stuff that a lot of us deal with. And I'm so happy to help. Gave me the energy to start getting help and go to class. That's a big, big thing for me. It's really an honor to help. Neeper78 from Canada. Can't believe this works, but it does. Discovered it by accident. I was looking at usually using sleep meditation. This popped up, and when my mind won't stop, Scooter's voice does it. Fire Vixen, like, here's something I'll probably say it on the regular show, but I thought, even when that whole thing became a thing with the two documentaries, I thought it was, because of my dyslexia, I thought it was Fry, F-R-F-R-Y-E, Fry. And then I said, huh, like, when I watched, this is not a joke, and then I was like, okay, maybe I should choose which documentary I'm going to watch, and then I did, and when I was choosing it, I realized, oh, it's like F-Y-R-E, like, it shouldn't, it did. But this person was, I don't know if they're in that shoot, but oh boy, so good, so soothing, I can hear the theme before plays. I Sleep Well is from Incognito 82. Mazki says, love this. My mom recommended it, and it's never failed. Thanks, you. And Heidi Carrots, I believe, was like our 2000th written review. So thank you, Heidi Care. It's the best there is. Thought I'd tried Calm 2, then I gave this a try, and it helps put me to sleep. So that's it. Thank you so much for reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts. You Sleep With Me Gross by direct listener support on Patreon, and by people that support sponsors. Oh, we grow by people so just naturally sharing the show, writing reviews, or just telling people about it. So thanks everybody that does that. And if you're looking for a podcast to check out Within the Wires, seasons 1, 2, and 3. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant podcast. You can start at any of those. I mean, I listened to season 1 first, but you could start with any season. It might be cool to hear people's different experiences and listening to them in different order. But really tune it in. That's part of Night Vale Presents, which we're also part of Night Vale Presents. You can find out all the other shows. So Within the Wires, you can find that in your podcast app or at nightvalepresents.com. We're also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org. And there's plenty of other episodes here for you if you need it. I'm here for you. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have 4 podcasts: the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season 1 part 2, almost 6 hours. That's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53. Ben Broughton, the Cran Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix, so that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way. But these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, in building your playlists. From that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.